go. Hey, everyone, once again. So have you ever received an invitation to an event, maybe an outing, and you get the invitation, maybe it's by email, it's maybe by text, someone calls you, you hear about it, and you're like, for whatever reason, I would rather not go. Maybe the people who sent you the invitation, you don't like them, or maybe you're just tired, you want to stay at home. Sometimes you've received an invitation, and the reason why you go to the event or the outing is because your friends really wanted you to go. Or for those of you who are married, your spouse really wants to go, kind of forces you to go. You know, for the sake of my marriage, I got to go to this event. So you go and you pretend like you have a good time, even though you don't want to be there. So sometimes we receive an invitation, and our response is one of excitement. Other times we receive that invitation and we're like, I'd rather not go, rather not be a part of that. Well, today we are looking at a passage of scripture in which Jesus calls his first disciples. And we're going to see that as Jesus calls Simon Peter to follow him, he offers him three invitations. And I believe Jesus offers these same invitations to each and every one of us. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Here's some of the context of what is going on. I want to kind of set up the text that we're going to be reading from. So in Luke chapter 4, Jesus has begun his public ministry, and he is growing in popularity. He's healing many people. He's casting out demons. He's preaching with authority, with grace. He's preaching that the kingdom of God has arrived, and these huge crowds are following him. And so Jesus is, one of the days he's teaching, and he stumbles upon some boats, and that's where our text is going to pick up. Now, again, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Here's my encouragement to all of us this morning. I just don't want to read scripture to you. I really want us to engage with the text. So if you didn't bring your Bible, there's a Bible next to you. If you have your phone, you can use that. But I would love all of us together to engage with God's word this morning. I'm going to read a couple verses, and then we're going to talk a little bit, read some and talk a little bit. So I won't read the whole text at once. But let's together see what God might reveal to us this morning through his word. Let me pray one more time. Father, I thank you for your word. Father, your word brings life. Your word is our guide. Your word is truth to us this morning. So, Father, as we look at this text, I pray that you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would just open up our hearts, open up our minds to see whatever it is you want to speak to, whatever it is you want to reveal to us this morning through your word. Holy Spirit, we invite you here in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, that is Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or Galilee, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon, or Peter's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So in these first few verses, we're introduced to the two main characters here in our text. Who are they? Jesus and Peter, or Simon. Simon and Peter are the same person. I'll mainly refer to him as Peter. So Jesus has this large crowd that is following him. They're pressing up against him. And as Jesus is teaching, he sees these two boats along the shoreline, and he gets into Peter's boat. And I think it's fair to ask the question, why did Jesus climb into Peter's boat? Well, first of all, I believe it was for a practical reason. Again, these huge crowds are following Jesus, and they're pressing up against him. And I believe getting into the boat gave him a little breathing room to teach. I remember years ago, I was in India. We were in Chennai, and it was the middle of the summer. It was really hot, and we go out to this little village. The actual structure of the church was probably about a fourth of the size of this sanctuary. And we get into that church, there's like 150 people crammed in, right? And there's no AC. I mean, just rivers of sweat are just kind of running down you. You're forced to wear pants and long-sleeve shirts, and you got to teach. And in those moments when people are pressing up against you, when it's hot, it is very difficult to teach. So I believe Jesus jumps into the boat for a very practical reason, to allow some breathing room, a little space from the crowd. But I believe there's a second reason Jesus got into the boat. I think Jesus did this to specifically get time with Peter. Remember, there were two boats. Jesus could have chosen either boat, but he went to Peter's boat. And Jesus saw the potential in Peter. And he knew that someday Peter would become the Apostle Peter, one of the men who literally changed the world with the message of the gospel. That message that he preached would be on Pentecost, where over 3,000 came to know Jesus. But that is 3 years down the road. And so Jesus knew that in order for a deep transformation to happen in Peter's life, where he goes from fisherman Peter to apostle Peter, that Jesus had to get his attention. And here's the first invitation we see in our text. It's an invitation to undivided attention. An invitation to undivided attention. Now, to understand this a little bit further, let's look again at verse 2. Here's what's happening. So Jesus gets by the lake, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. So what was Peter doing while Jesus was teaching? He's washing the nets. He's working. And I have no doubt that Peter recognized Jesus as a gifted rabbi. I believe part of him really wanted to listen to Jesus, but he also knew that he had work to do. There was work to be done. So he's preoccupied, he's distracted, and fellows, men in the room, fellows, how good are we at multitasking? Not good, right? We're terrible at it. I think the women do a much better job of multitasking than we do. And so Peter's attention was divided. And whether you're good at multitasking or not, all of us have been guilty of being preoccupied, of allowing our attention to be divided. And you ever gotten so caught up in life that you are only partially paying attention to God? It's easy to do. I'm guilty of it. The pressures of life can seem overwhelming, and so it can be easy to give God a backseat, and we get distracted by the to-dos, by the busyness that come with life. And we tell ourselves, I'll make it up when things slow down. When things slow down, then I'll spend more time with God. So when I get through this crazy busy week, or when we as a family get through this crazy busy season, then we will make Jesus more of a priority in our lives. But tell me, when does life slow down? Anyone figured it out? Man, I'm 39, life has not slowed down at all. I talked to some of you who were empty nesters. I used to have hope, thinking once the kids are out of the house, life gets easier. But you tell me, no, life is busier now than when we had kids in the house. I talked to those of you who are retired. You're like, life is just as busy. So I don't think it's a matter of when does life slow down, but rather whom and what do we prioritize in our lives? And Jesus knew that about Peter. He knew that Peter had good intentions, but Jesus wanted more. He wanted Peter's undivided attention. And I believe Jesus looks at Peter in love, and he ultimately knows, Peter, in order for you to become whom I've called you to be, I need to be your first priority. Peter, I want your undivided attention. I need your focus to be on me and not on the distractions around you. And as Peter sets aside distractions, as he focuses on Jesus, something begins to change in him. And we'll see in the next few verses that as distractions were removed, as Peter hears Jesus preach from the boat, as he focuses on Christ, a work of transformation begins to take place in Peter. A quick question for you this morning. What distracts you? What keeps you from focusing on Jesus, from giving him your undivided attention? Like Peter, how many times do we let the pressures of life, the busyness, the worries distract us from Christ? When was the last time that you personally gave Jesus your undivided attention? It's difficult, isn't it? Maybe you're like me, you wake up in the morning and it's summertime, so you go, you sit out on your deck, you're like, all right, I've got 15, 20 minutes, I want to spend some time in prayer, spend some time reading God's word, and so you open up God's word and all of a sudden your mind starts going in all these directions, you can't focus, then you have your darn phone next to you, the thing goes off, you get a text and you start looking, you start scrolling, and then social media and news, and all of a sudden a half hour goes by and you're like, what just happened? I just wasted a half hour. I haven't spent any time in God's word. Distractions. Or maybe this has happened to your family. And so we as a family, we try to do family devotions at least 3 to 4 times a week if we can get there. Some weeks we don't do that because life is busy, and we try to do devotions around dinner time. And we can be having a great dinner, right? I mean, the kids are like angels, super well-behaved, polite. Yes, please, thank you. Father, can I clear your plate and take it to the sink for you? Who are these kids, right? This is awesome. And then all of a sudden we open up the Bible and it's like World War III, right? Mac and cheese and hot dogs are flying everywhere and they're yelling and shouting. And what happened? I think it's spiritual warfare. I really do. You see, the enemy knows what happens when we give Jesus our undivided attention. And so I think he will do whatever he can. Social media, worries, work, children not getting along, whatever it is, to distract us from focusing on Christ. So we need to be mindful of the distractions that keep us from giving Jesus our undivided attention. I love 2 Corinthians 3:18. You'll see the verse on the screens that was read earlier. It says this, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." How are we transformed? As we focus our hearts and our minds on Jesus through his word. And as we do that, as we give Jesus our attention through word, through prayer, through worship, he, through the power of the Holy Spirit, begins to do a work of transformation in our hearts and in our minds. And this is exactly what Simon Peter experienced. And it's amazing what happened in Peter's life as a result of him giving Jesus his undivided attention. And again, we're going to see that in the next couple of verses. But I believe Jesus invites every single one of us, and he says, give your attention, give your focus to me, abide with me. Look, allow me to do the work of transformation in you. You can't do it. It's impossible. So we need to abide with Christ, give him our undivided attention. That's the first invitation. Let's keep reading. We'll find the second invitation here in the next few verses, picking up in verse 4 and 5. "And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep, the deep waters, and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word,'" if you have your Bibles, I would underline that, "'but at your word, I will let down the nets.'" All right, so Jesus asks Peter to do something that defies all human logic. After fishing all night and coming up with nothing, to go back out to the deep waters and to put down the nets. Now, it's interesting because in verse 3, when Jesus first gets into Peter's boat, he says, "Let's put out just a little distance from shore." So let's stay in shallow waters close here to shore. And then after Jesus is done preaching, he says, "All right, Peter, let's put out to deeper waters." So we're going from shallow water to deeper waters. And this movement from the shallow water to the deeper water, I believe, is an analogy of what Jesus was going to do in regards to Peter's faith. And here's the second invitation that we see Jesus offer Peter. It's an invitation to deeper faith and deeper trust in Jesus. So Jesus tells Peter, "Let's go out to deeper waters." And you can hear some of the hesitation in Peter's voice. And you know he's got to be thinking, "Jesus, are you sure about this? It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort to go out to the deeper waters. And Jesus, I just spent all night out there and I caught nothing. And what if we go out to the deeper waters and do all that work, all that effort, we put down the nets, what if we come back empty-handed? Do you know what the crowd's going to be thinking? That you're a fool, Jesus, that I'm a fool as well." So in that moment, don't miss this, in that moment when Jesus says, "All right, Peter, let's put out to deeper waters so you can put down the nets," in that moment, Peter has a choice to make. Do I trust Jesus and take him at his word? Or do I do what seems logical and easier? Do I do what seems less risky and just stay here near the shore and call it a day? And Peter responds in faith and trust in Jesus, and he says, Jesus, at your word, I will let down the nets. And here's what happened next, picking up in verse 6. And when they had done this, gone out to deeper waters, let down the nets, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So this amazing miracle takes place. There was so much fish. Imagine that, fishermen. I know some of you like to fish here. So much fish that the boats are sinking. And I believe what Jesus is doing in Peter is he's taking him from his superficial, half-hearted, and casual attention of him, and he's turning it into a deeper, more personal, and real commitment to Jesus. You see, Jesus is bringing Peter to a place where he is more dependent on him, where his faith, his trust are deeply rooted in him, even in those moments of having to go out to the deep unknown, to the deep waters. Jesus is inviting Peter to have a deeper faith, a deeper trust. And I love what one pastor wrote about Peter's response to Jesus when Jesus says, let's put out to deep waters. He says this, going deep with Jesus. I love this. Going deep with Jesus is never a waste of time. Going deep with Jesus is never a waste of time. And Peter learned that in a pretty remarkable way. So have you ever sensed God calling you to something? To step out in faith, to go out to the deeper waters. The unknown, but fear, uncertainty, doubt has kept you from doing what you know God has called you to. Maybe you've sensed personally, maybe as a family, that Jesus wants to take you from your comfortable shoreline to a deeper place, out to deeper waters where you're forced to trust and depend on him more. But the what ifs are holding you back from fully trusting Jesus. So I've had the opportunity, many of you know this, to lead several mission trips to Boca Chica, Colombia over the years. And Boca Chica is an island off the main coast there of Northern Colombia. And we work with a great ministry, YOM, there. They're just doing, God's using them to do transformational work on the island. But one of the things we've gotten to do over the years, not with every team, we didn't get to do it with the Hope team in 2016. I wish we would have, but just we ran out of time. But one of the things we get to do is go cliff jumping into the ocean. And here's a picture of one of the teams cliff jumping. This is from 2010 when the team of us went. And man, it's amazing. If you've never done cliff jumping in the ocean, it's awesome. A little risky, right? Always a chance of death, but none of us have died, so we're grateful for that. But you can see up on the left, that's the team jumping. And when you jump, there's like different levels. There's like a 20-foot level, a 25-foot level, then a 35-foot level. And I know 20 feet doesn't sound that high, but when you're jumping into the ocean, out to the deep unknown, it can be kind of scary. So the whole team is jumping on this day, except for one guy. I'll call him Joe. And he's way on the far right up there on the picture on the left. And what Joe would do, we could tell that he wanted to jump, but he would go up to the ledge, and he's like, he'd almost jump, but then he'd go back. He's like, no, I can't do it. And then a few minutes later, he'd come back, all right, I'm going to jump. And he'd look down, and he wouldn't do it. He did this for over an hour and a half. He probably came to that ledge over 50 times. He's like, I'm going to jump. And he couldn't do it. And finally, after the hour and a half, I think we were actually getting close to 2 hours, we had to go back to the mission to do more ministry that afternoon. So I said, all right, guys, this is it. Last opportunity to jump. Joe goes up one last time, and he jumps. And we couldn't believe it. And he gets into the water, and he comes up out of the water, and the sheer joy, the excitement on his face, man, it was priceless. And we're all cheering for him and high fives. And it was a cool moment as a team. And then he climbs back up the cliff. He's like, Ben, can I jump one more time? And I said, sure, go ahead. He jumped like 3 or 4 more times because he realized this is awesome. But how many times are we like Joe when it comes to our walk with Christ? You see, we know God has called us to something. Out to the deeper waters, to the unknown. Yet fear, uncertainty holds us back. And so we get to that ledge. All right, God, you're calling me to do this, but it's a little scary. I can't do it today. We go back and then come again. All right, God, I'm going to jump this time. What if I can't swim? Nope. I'm not going to do it. Might Jesus be saying to some of you today, just jump. Just jump. Listen, I got this. Trust me. Let's put out to deeper waters. Going deep with me, it is never a waste of time. And I'm inviting you to a deeper trust, a deeper dependency on me, but you have to go out to the deeper waters. That's what I'm calling you to. That's the invitation. A deeper faith. A deeper trust in Jesus. And let me just make one thing clear so that we don't get too prideful and think too highly of ourselves. If we're on that ledge, right, and we jump, or Jesus calls us to something and we go out to deeper waters, we decide to do that. Who gives us the strength? Who gives us the courage to do what God has called us to? Is it us? No, we're weak. We're frail. I love Colossians chapter 1. Paul is talking about the ministry that God has called him to, planting churches, sharing the gospel, preaching about Jesus. And he's talking about the difficulties that come with that. And then he says this in Colossians 1:29, "For this I toil, struggling with all the energy that Christ powerfully works in me." So who gives us the courage? Who gives us the strength to go out to the deeper waters? It's Christ. So if you're on that ledge, the best thing you can do is just pray. God, would you give me the courage? Would you give me the strength to do that which you have called me to? All right, let's finish our text here. One last invitation. Picking up in verse 8, here's the real miracle that happens. "But when Simon Peter saw it," that's the miracle, "he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon," again, if you have your Bibles, underline this, "'Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men.' And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus." So the last invitation is this. It's an invitation to a new way of life, a life dependent and focused on Jesus. You see, the true miracle that Jesus performed, it wasn't all the fishies in the net, but it was a transformation that took place in Peter's life as he comes face to face with the reality of who Jesus is and what he offers Peter. And Peter now sees Jesus in an entirely new light. Jesus is Lord, and Peter is a sinful man. And so like Isaiah, when he came confronted with the Lord, Peter is ashamed of his sin in light of who Jesus is as the Son of God. But I love Jesus' response in verse 10. What does he say? "Peter, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." So Jesus responds in comfort and grace. He offers the forgiveness of sin, and he calls Peter to a new mission, a new way of life, one that is focused and dependent on Christ. And I love what Martin Luther says. I've put this quote on your sermon notes for today, but he says that Peter is to be alarmed on account of his unworthiness and sins is in itself an abundant comfort and grace. However, he is not only to have the forgiveness of sins, don't miss this, but is also to know that God intends to accomplish still great things through him by making him a help and a comfort to others. Have you experienced that? This new way of life that Jesus calls you to, a life that is focused, a life that is dependent on him. It's a life in which he offers us forgiveness of sin, life everlasting, assurance of salvation, joy, peace. It's a life in which he offers us a mission to live out, Do you know God has given you a mission? Are you walking in it? Are you staying close to shore where things are a little less risky? Maybe a little more comfortable. I love the promise of Matthew 11:28. And I believe this is what Jesus truly offers us. He says this, and Peter was there when Jesus spoke it. This is a little time later. But Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is what Jesus offers us, a life that is dependent, a life that is focused on him, a life in which he lifts our burdens and gives us the strength, gives us the courage to do that which he has called us to. And again, I sense some of you this morning, maybe you're on that ledge, and Jesus is saying, just jump. Jump. Come to deeper waters. Don't be afraid. The life I offer, it's not burdensome. Is it always easy? Is it always comfortable? No. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. So sometimes there is a cross we are called to bear, but the assurance you and I have is that Jesus is always with us. Whatever he calls us to, he is right there beside us. He is in the boat as we head out to deeper waters. So may we, like Peter, respond in faith to the invitation Jesus offers us. Let's pray. Father, the picture that I got earlier this week was, and right now, that picture of Joe when he jumped off that cliff and came up out of the water, just that sheer joy, that sheer excitement. Father, would you lead us to those places that you're calling us to? God, I know it can be scary. I know it can be difficult. We, in our own strength, our own willpower, we can't do it. Father, I also pray that you would remove the distractions from us. I'm guilty of it. Father, help us to be mindful and to set our attention, to set our focus on Jesus. Father, I pray for those this morning who just need rest. Lord, you call us to that. The life you call us to is not burdensome, so may we rest in you. Thank you for the gift of salvation. Thank you for the gift of life, for peace, for hope that we encounter as we place our hope, our trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. So, Father, we love you. You be with us. Thank you that you walk with us and you enable us to do all that you've called us to. We pray all this in your beautiful name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Please stand.